off the ball rugby.
I know what's going on with this co-coaching malarkey. I just can't. Co-captaincy stuff, co-coaches, go away with the co stuff. That can't happen.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Daily.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined now by former Clare football and Camogie star and two-time Premiership winner in the AFLW, Eilidh Considine. Eilidh, first of all, thank you so much for jumping on. How is things?
Good, yeah. Adjusting back to the cold climate of Ireland since I've been home for Christmas. So I've constantly been cold. So it's nice to be home. Change scenery for now.
Yeah, I would say it's a totally different life in Australia, I would imagine.
It sure is. Longer days, warmer weather, and it actually makes it easy to go out and do a pre-season somewhat, because you know it's going to be dry and sunny and kind of warm all the time. Whereas here, you have to go out in either the darkness or the rain or the snow or the cold or the ice or whatever it is. So it's been an adjustment period, I think, for now.
Yeah, you do hear, like, it's hard for even, say, people that haven't lived away, you know, to get through the Irish winter is hard enough with the dark evenings. But I'd say for yourself that you're so used to the sunny days and getting up early and out in the sunshine and all of that, it must be quite difficult and strange to try and get back to that.
It is, because, like, when I left Melbourne, it was bright at 5 a.m. and it wasn't dark until 8:30 p.m. and then I've come back to home and it's dark until around 9 a.m. and it's getting dark at 4:30. So like the day just cuts so short, and it's like trying to find a window to actually do some exercise outside around, and while it's dry and trying to find a dry patch in the day, it's like all these barriers that you kind of forget that are there, like to make you go out and train on your own, is like you just forget about them in Australia because you just have the choice of the day and everything. So it's a big hit when you kind of go from, you know, midwinter and like when you come to midwinter from like hitting into the summer over there. So picked a bad time to come home, really, to be honest. I'm missing all the best weather out in Melbourne.
Well, hopefully the dark evenings are coming to an end soon here. That's what I hope anyway. Well, firstly, how would you sum up your AFLW journey?
A roller coaster, for sure. It was mad, really. When I signed in 2019 or in the 2018 with Adelaide, it was the biggest shock of my life. Like, I really didn't expect to even get picked up by a team. I went over to Melbourne with the Crossgoaters for that trials for a week, and I was expecting that to be my Australia bucket list ticked off, that I made it to the country and then was going to come home again and forever play with Clare for the rest of my days. But luckily enough, Adelaide took a major chance on me then, and the rest just ended up in history, really. Like, I didn't expect to play a single game, not to talk about play 5 seasons with Adelaide and win premierships. So it was an absolute roller coaster. And like, of course, there was highs and lows. Like with sport, there is, like, the, you know, between injury and not making the team and missing out and then been a last minute call up for a final. It's kind of all these kind of things that I had with Adelaide, for sure. I had lots of different experiences with Adelaide and then with North, and to get that lifeline, to get a second chance at it, you know, it was incredible when I had pretty much written off my chances of going back to Australia, and getting to experience a new city and a new way of living was really, really cool. And it was a great experience. And even though it was short lived at North Melbourne, you know, it was a nice way to finish out my career and, you know, I guess end my career on my terms, which is something that sports people don't always get to do. And I know, well, like from seeing friends and my sister, even, you know, injuries kind of get in the way at times when you kind of want to finish out something. And so I think North was able to give me that opportunity, which I'll be forever grateful for.
Yeah. And what a career. Like, signed for the Adelaide Crows in 2019. You became the first Irish woman to win an AFLW Premiership later that year. And then you won your second then in 2022. So can I bring you back to winning that first Premiership? As I said, never been done by an Irish female before. That must have been so surreal.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And like, even when I look back and compare like all of the grand finals that I've been lucky enough to be part of, that 2019 one is special. Like, that one holds a massive, you know, memory in my head and my heart. It's something that's really close to me, because it was just all so unknown, and it was just such a dream. Like, the fact that I got to play professional sport and be paid, even though at the time it wasn't great payment, if like, well, I wasn't in for the money, But just that opportunity to travel and Adelaide really wrapped their arms around me and brought me into their little family, and I felt so part of it. And then my family flew over for the weekend, which was madness, to be there for the final. And it was just a dream, like, to win then so comprehensively and to score a goal in front of 53,000 people, a packed out stadium at Adelaide Oval, and to be able to just enjoy the moment because we were ahead by so much. Like, we pretty much had the game won at halftime, which made it kind of easy to enjoy, you know, the atmosphere that was there and appreciate the moment. Because I remember I was on the interchange just about to come on, me and Hannah Button, we were waiting for our rotation, and we just looked up and they announced the attendance, and it was packed out. And at that stage, we hadn't actually noticed, we didn't realise. And we just had that moment where we could look around the entire stadium and see that it was full everywhere. And then obviously straight behind me was the green, white and gold, because that's where my parents, that's where my family and stuff were sitting. So I could, like, to see a full stadium, see an Irish flag, and just, like, knowing at that stage that you're going to win, it's just unbelievable. It's one of my best memories of sport. Like, I've had a few, like, here with football and stuff, but, and Camogie, but that one just... it's just something that you couldn't even dream of. Do you know what I mean? Like, as a young girl, you dream of playing in a football park, winning on Ireland for Clare or whatever. But that's just a dream that I never had, that I never knew I wanted until it came through. And it was just, it was absolutely incredible.
Whoa, I have goosebumps thinking of that. You get emotional because, yeah, like you said, almost like it wasn't possible. You felt like that, to have something like that for yourself, to have that experience, that wasn't possible for you to have. So it just felt like you were living a dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's incredible. So when you think of the club and obviously winning the two premierships, it must have been very difficult then to flip that and have to leave and step away. What was it like to leave the club?
It was hard. In circumstances, I suppose, as well. It was kind of, a lot of it felt out of my control, which was... it's hard to leave a club that really felt like your family. And like those girls, like, there was very little change within the squad with Adelaide. So like, I knew those girls inside out. Some of them were my best friends, still are my best friends. And Adelaide became home in a second way for me. So it was really difficult to leave. And I think the injury just kind of just made things difficult because it was just bad time. And it wasn't a great hamstring injury, to be fair, but it was just terrible timing when it happened. And it's professional sport, and at the end of the day, if you can't prove yourself on the field, there's only so much you can do off field to try and regain a contract. And unfortunately, you know, I just couldn't get back out there in time to plead my case on field. So unfortunately, ended up getting delisted from Adelaide, which was really hard. And like, because I wanted to continue to play, and I loved being part of the club, but that sport, and that's the laws of sport sometimes. And then I came home and it was kind of all not knowing what's happening. And then out of nowhere, when I was in New York playing for Nafina outside, playing football, I got this random phone call, and within a week I had done some hamstring testing down in Soho in New York, and pretty much signed the contract in the airport on the way back. It changed all my flights to get home for a couple of days to unpack and repack and head off to North Melbourne, which was just an absolute whirlwind. Didn't even think about it until I was on the plane, well and truly across to Melbourne, because it all happened so quickly and I had so much to organise and do. And but yeah, North are a great club, and people kind of ask me, like, well, what's the differences between North and Adelaide? I was like, there's actually not that many, which, I mean, it's a great sign for North, because obviously Adelaide have been well and truly known in the competition to be one of the best teams in the last 6-7 years. So for that, I mean, it just shows the calibre of players and the club that they have there as well. And obviously making the grand final last season too, but genuinely, when we played Adelaide at Norwood in round, I think it was round 8, Norwood was where I played my first game in Adelaide, my first ever AFLW game. And it was packed out Norwood, so like full of Adelaide Crows fans. And I was there in my blue North Melbourne kit with the North Melbourne team. And I wasn't playing because I had twinged my hamstring just the week before. But my heart was going for Adelaide and my head was going for North. It was a really difficult environment to be in, because it felt like home. Like, every time I fly to Adelaide, it feels like home. So that was probably one of the trickiest ones. Now, we did end up playing them in the semi-final. We played Adelaide, but it was on at Icon Park in Melbourne. So it was a bit different. It was a bit more North Melbourne. It was a bit more Melbourne, so it was like it didn't feel as hard. But that game definitely was a real tricky one on the heartstrings, because it just, like, I literally couldn't even walk around the stadium. I think I was trying to meet someone at the other side of the stadium at halftime, and I think I got stopped by maybe 10 or 12 people because of the connections that I've built up in Adelaide over the past 5 years. You just couldn't get across because, like, people just knew me, and you kind of forget that you build up these networks when you're in a place. And I didn't have that yet in Melbourne because it was so fresh there. But yeah, it's tough changing clubs, especially when you're used to loyalty, being an Irish player, because, like, you play for your county, you play for your club, and it's where you're from, and you kind of stick to that. So the change of club was definitely a difficult thing, but I'll be forever grateful for them giving me a second chance and you know, opening up the club to me, open arms, and, you know, making it feel like my second home again. So yeah, it was definitely an interesting experience at North, but definitely one I thoroughly enjoyed.
And it shows as well the highs and lows in sport. Like you were talking about, you didn't know what was next. You're over in New York, you're playing for Nafine out there. You didn't know if you'd ever play probably AFLW again, and you get the call. And as you said, it was hard to leave Adelaide in the first place. It shows the highs and lows in sport. I'm sure that can be difficult as well at times to deal with all of that. Say the low points. Did you ever have any support in that, or have you, I suppose, had experience over the years that you've maybe built up ways of dealing with it?
Yeah, I suppose there was a lot of lows with AFL, and I think we hit it quite well with the sunshine and the coffees and the Instagram and everything like that. I think we did a good job of making it look like the dream, which it was. Like, don't get me wrong, it is an absolute dream to be your job. But there's, you know, with anything, there's super highs and then there's super lows. And I think the thing with the Irish players over playing is that you don't have that network, like you don't have your family, you don't have your friends, you have your teammates, but you don't want to always be relying on them, like, all the time for extra support when you're already seeing them 4 or 5 times a week, and sometimes you just need to get away from the club and from football because that's the thing that's kind of driving you a bit mad, or that's what's giving you the lows. So I actually don't know, like, I have had to cope with things quite a lot on my own since moving over to Australia. And I think that's been, like, a really good, like, learning curve for me, and, like, even developing me as a person and coping with different, you know, adversities that come my way between injury, not being selected, the pressures of sport, the missing home, the relationship stuff, the whatever stuff that ends up, you know, causing you issues in life and gives you your troubles. But I think, yeah, like, I've just managed to find ways to, like, cope on my own and figure out problems myself, even though, like, I've always had the support of my family, but, like, it's just not the same over FaceTime or over text or over WhatsApp or whatever. Like, you just, sometimes you just need to sit in a room with someone that you're close with and just say nothing for a few hours and then you feel better after. But I guess those are the kind of things you missed out on been abroad when you're playing sport. But it's definitely made me a stronger person, and, like, it's, you know, built resilience, like, throughout my entire career. Like, it's never been a straightforward, easy path to the way up, but I think it'll, like, stand to me for whatever next is to come in my life. And it's definitely, I'm not the same person I was when I went out to Adelaide, absolutely not knowing a thing about Australia, or even, I didn't even know where Adelaide was on the map. I didn't even know South Australia existed. So, I mean, I've learned a lot about myself, and I've definitely grown a bit more as a person, and definitely a changed person. And I can see that when I come back to Clare, when I come back to the west of Ireland, I just find it a massive culture shock to come home again. So it's, like, I've definitely grown as a person. So I think just, yeah, I don't know if I have any major coping strategies with the highs and lows of sport, but I think it just helps you build resilience and helps you kind of motivate you to keep working hard and keep going even through the tough times.
That is it. And after 6 seasons then in the AFLW, you decided to retire. Why did you feel that the time was right now?
Is there ever a right time? I don't know. It's a tough one for sport because you kind of never really know when is the right time, because sometimes you can feel good, sometimes it can be body related, sometimes, you know, you just feel like your time is up. But I think with AFL, I've kind of, for me, I've kind of achieved as much as I think I'm probably going to achieve for now in that sport, in the sense that I was extremely lucky with Adelaide, playing in three grand finals and winning two, and then with North, like, been a part of that and getting to grand final with that team as well. So like, I've, in six seasons, I've been part of four grand finals. So I mean, it doesn't get too much better than that in as a player. So I think with North giving me that other opportunity to come back and play, and just kind of, it just felt right to kind of finish it off, even though like body wasn't pretty good. I know I had another hamstring injury, which is a bit of a killer, but like body wise, I'm still pretty good and I'm still pretty fit and healthy. But I think with a sport like that, and with the mileage that I've done between playing football and Camogie for Clare since I was 16, and you know, playing dual sports my entire life, I think you kind of have to give your body a bit of a break at times. So it's definitely not an easy decision. It was kind of just a mix of everything, like a few little extra niggles that I've been picking up, and just knowing that how long more I had left in the AFL when I hadn't really played much football in two seasons was kind of another thing, kind of another factor that I was kind of aware of that would make things a bit harder to keep getting contracts if I wasn't playing enough games. So I think it was just timing wise, it felt relatively okay, even though now I'm like, what am I supposed to do with my life? But yeah, it kind of felt like the right moment to do it, I think, for me. And yeah, it's been a hell of a ride for six seasons.
It really has. It's been incredible. And one of the great things about getting home, obviously, you get to spend a lot more time with your family. And you've mentioned your sister, Emer. You know, she's obviously well known for playing for Ireland in rugby. What was it like growing up together?
We always played together. There's only a year between us. Some people might think that's bad because she has her life together so much in comparison to me. But always only a year age gap. So we pretty much played in like under 12, 14, 16 minor all the way up along, and even for club. It was actually really funny because she was terrible at sports when she was a kid. Like I always loved playing sports outside around, and my brother would play with me when I was younger, and then she eventually got into it. But initially, if you threw a ball at her, it would either hit her in the face or she'd just put her arms up to like avoid hitting her face. So it was really funny. Eventually she got good. But she was a superstar, like always from like then, once she did develop the skills of the game, like she was a superstar and I always looked up to her. She was always like, everyone used to talk about her, how good she was. And she was, and I probably didn't make the teams when we were playing together. So I was always watching her from the sidelines. Like I was there, tagged, ready to go. But for Claire and stuff, she was always the one that was playing. And she was just always someone that I looked up to. She was always my inspiration. Which was really, really nice to have, because like Brachalk and Sheath were two very different personalities. She's very much a girly girl and I'm very much a sporty girl. So it was really funny growing up how different we were, but it just, those differences kind of brought us together, and sport brought us together more. So like we're super close, and she's, you know, she's overachieved in everything that she puts her mind to, whether that's school, study, sport, teaching, whatever she does, she just does it so well. And she's just, yeah, always been someone I've looked up to.
That's so crazy that you said she was like afraid of the ball, and then you see her playing with Ireland and she's like this warrior.
I know, playing rugby. Super competitive, but yeah, she was not good as a child. She will admit that herself.
Oh, well, it's just a message for young people that, you know, if things aren't happening for you, maybe it's in primary school and secondary school even, you know, that it still can. I saw as well that she had a little boy last year, and then she was back playing like 3 months after having him, which is just incredible.
Yeah, crazy. She did so well to come back so quickly after having him. He's actually one on the 27th of January, so very shortly, he's a year old. So she was just so determined to come back. She didn't want it to be like the end of her career, just having a baby and that's it. She wanted to, I guess, prove a point for all females out there that if you have a baby, you can still play, you know, elite level sport and at a really high level. And she wanted to do that. And she came back really strong, and she played, and she came back from Munster. And she played some club football as well for Kilmahoe. But unfortunately, she did end up doing her ACL I think it was in August, but she's had her surgery in October. So she's currently rehabbing that, but knowing her and her determination, she'll be back in elite level sport, whatever that may be, if that's football, rugby, whatever, but she'll definitely be back because she's rehabbing away now and she's just determined to prove a point that, you know, she kind of wants to finish on her own terms too. And I get that. I really do get that. So I think she's going to rehab as best she can and see what happens after that.
Oh, amazing. Well, we wish her all the best. We hope to see her back out there soon. That's for sure. And I'll bring you back then to playing for Clare in football and Camogie. Obviously really successful there as well. Do you think that we might see you in a Clare jersey again, Ailish?
It's not a no. At the moment, I'm taking a little bit of a break just to try and figure out what's next with my life, because it's been 6 years of floating over and back between Adelaide, New York, home, Melbourne, New York. So it's kind of just been a bit of a whirlwind couple of years. So I'm trying to figure out what's next life-wise, career-wise, sport-wise, and travel-wise. So it's not a no. Yeah, it's certainly a thinking process at the moment, and it's definitely an option. But I just have a few more things to kind of think through before I fully commit, because once I'm in, I'm in. That's it.
Amazing. You mentioned New York there. You played with Nafina. I would have played with Calvin. Yeah, out there.
Oh, rivals. Yeah.
Rivals. You said
major rivals.
Yeah. But it's incredible to have those experiences. Like, that's something I'd never forget. And I'm sure it's the same for you to play out in Gaelic Park.
Yeah, it was. And do you know what? 2018 was my first time playing out there. And myself and Emer went out to Nafina and played. And I was playing with Clare at the time, and I played the league, and I was kind of just, I played, I think, consistently for, I think, 10 seasons with Clare. And I kind of lost the love of football a little bit, if I'm being honest. And it kind of just hit me. And I decided to go out for the summer and play. And it honestly gave me the love of football back, because just the fun that you have out there, it's just, there's so little pressure, but like, you want to win, obviously. So people are, and the standard is so good out there too. So like, you're playing really good games and you're just like a really important player, and they really take care of you when you're a summer player, because they want you to play well and they want you to do well. So they just wrap you around their arms and they take you in as part of the family. And you know yourself what it's like then on game day, and after the games, you end up going back up to Yonkers, up to McLean Avenue, and you're in Ned's or Clark's or wherever is the closest one, or wherever you end up. And it's just the camaraderie that comes with it as well. It's just, it's such a nice thing, because football is so serious here. And like, I mean, as it should be, it's a pretty high level. So I suppose that's part of it. But it just gave me the love of the game back again, because you were playing, you were having fun, you were enjoying it. There was so little pressure. And then you were just in, like, you were in everyone's company then after the game, which is really nice. And we won, which also helped. I mean, when you win a championship in New York, it also makes it a bit easier to enjoy the time there. And then I was lucky enough to go back then, just the summer gone, and play in the Fina again. Now we weren't as successful this time around, but it was just lovely to get back into playing football again, having not played it in so long, and really just like enjoy the travel aspect of being in New York and everything that goes with it. So yeah, I was lucky enough to have two seasons there. I mean, I won't say it's my last, because I can never say that. I can always go back out to New York for summer at some stage, but
yeah,
it was, it's a great experience to do. And I highly would recommend it to anyone that plays football to just experience it at least once in their life, because it's something you can never regret.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something really special about the GA, that you can go to somewhere like New York and join a team and, you know, have all these experiences. It's definitely something as well that I'd recommend. But this weekend, anyway, it sees the return of the little LDFA National Leagues. The big one to kick it off, Kerry in Dublin. That's on Saturday at 5:15. That's a repeat, of course, of last year's All-Ireland Final. You have Meath, they travel to Mayo on Sunday at 2 p.m. Armagh taking Waterford at home. Then your own Clare, they play Wexford, but those games are at 1 p.m. on Sunday. So there's loads to look forward to. You know, it's exciting, I suppose, the championship now, Ailish, that in recent years it's wide open, and it's hard to call who's going to win because there's so many teams that are in the mix.
Yeah, it is, and like you couldn't call it, not like especially at this time of year, and like different teams peak in league and stuff as well, but it's so hard to call. Like, obviously Dublin, off the back of winning last year, are probably going in as a little bit of favourites, but like Kerry are chomping at the bit. Like, they they're a really, really good side, and they have a couple of players back again in the squad. And I think Armagh are probably dark horses for this season as well. I think people will see a different style to Armagh this year. I think they'll really come good for championship. But yeah, it's so wide open. Like, it's so hard to call. And obviously Meath, they're going to be there, thereabouts, and you can never write off a Cork team either. Mm-hmm. So like, it's in the senior level and Division One, like it's going to be so competitive, which, I mean, it's great for the game, and it's great for so many teams to be involved and competitive even at this time of year. So yeah, it'll be an interesting championship and league. And obviously for Clare, they've obviously got the hurt of losing the All-Ireland last year to Kildare, which, I mean, I know I wasn't part of last year's one, but the last All-Ireland we got to was Kildare again by a point. So, I mean, it's a lot to take on, and it's something that, you know, can really help you for the next season to kind of push on and try and get to the next and break that barrier and get to the All-Ireland, because it's been a while now since Clare have won All-Ireland and have played in senior level. So the league will be a good kickoff for that. And in Division 3, like, they're probably expecting and looking to win the National League in Division 3. So, I mean, that would be a good stepping stone for them to start off their championship for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And from when you went over to play AFLW to now, have you seen a big change in the LGFA?
I see. Yeah, there's definitely been a change. Like, you can see that the conditioning level of the girls has got, you know, so much more professional, and it's got better, and the setups seem to be a whole lot better than what they were when I left too. From the outside looking in, I mean, I can't judge fully from the outside, but it definitely looks like a more professional body all around, which, I mean, is no harm, because obviously it needs to take steps in that direction, and still has a long way to go in that regards, but it looks like it's going in the right direction, which is good. The standard of players is through the roof, and, like, I mean, people now might be a little bit disappointed with players leaving to go to the AFL, and with so many now, I think there's 33 listed at the moment, or 34. But, like, it's such a great sign of what the LGFA are producing. Like, you're producing ready-made athletes for an elite sport in another country. So that tells you all you need to know about a sport, about an amateur sport in a country that, you know, you're obviously doing things well and doing things right, and we're producing really, really good players. So the standard of everything, like the skills-wise and, you know, the conditioning has jumped so much. I don't know if I'll ever catch up, to be honest.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, Ailish, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And you never know, we might see you back out in a Clare jersey in months to come.
You never know.
Off the Ball Daily.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.